It is, in a way, a central church. That is to say, its focus is really much more in the middle than on the end, which would have been typical of a rectangular Roman basilica. And it is, in a way, with this cruciform shape, this cross-like shape, two basilicas, if you will, intersecting one another at right angles. It is a church that speaks also to architectural forms of the East, and indeed quite far to the East, places like Armenia, places like Georgia. So, once again, and one last time with respect to Justinian, we can look at this building and see in it all of its Roman elements and all of the ways in which it attempted to speak to the history of Roman architecture. And at the same time, we can look at this church and say, this is something new and different. We have not seen this before. This is new. So, the age of Justinian, then, provides us with a number of quite fascinating paradoxes. From one point of view, it looks so very, very traditional. From another point of view, it is so very different, so very bold, so very innovative, so very different. Now, if we fast forward to the 7th century, to take a second vantage point on this East Roman Empire, let's go to the East era, to the world of East Rome, in the time of the Emperor Heraclius. Now, Heraclius reigns from 610 until 641. Here we can see, before we see anything else, an accentuation of some of the changes that were evident from the time of Justinian. We can see some of these trends persisting, even gathering momentum. The military policies of the Roman state, for example, were now differently oriented. The great problem that Heraclius faced, of course, was the Persians and then the Muslims. One of the great ironies of history, of course, is that Heraclius fought a brilliant series of campaigns, defeated the Persian Empire, and in the process simply exhausted his military establishment and his treasury, and was more or less defenseless when the armies of Islam came issuing forth in the central decades of the 7th century. But these wars against Persians and then against Muslims taught Heraclius something that his Byzantine successors would never forget. It was the eastern frontier that was critical. It was the eastern frontier that was critical. Now, the Balkan Peninsula, and particularly the northern Balkans, had always been an especially valuable military recruiting ground for the East Roman Empire, and also had been an area from which East Rome had long drawn considerable economic revenues. There was a very, very substantial agricultural production in this part of the world. The Balkan frontier, or, and if we want to think of it this way, the Danube frontier, was increasingly being threatened in the time of Heraclius, and already even a generation before Heraclius, by Slavs and Bulgars. So this indicated to Heraclius a problem only slightly less acute than the Islamic and Persian problems on the eastern frontiers. That is to say, the Balkan frontier had to be held. All right, what does this imply? It implies that very little attention could be paid to the West, and indeed, in truth, apart from Italy, no attention at all. The West simply didn't matter any longer. It may have mattered only in the realm of dream for Justinian, but Heraclius, indeed, had very different dreams. Heraclius, in the second place, laid the beginnings of the theme system. Now, themes, that's a name for military districts. The East Roman Empire was carved up into a series of military districts. Within those districts, soldiers were settled on the land. In a sense, they were paid by being given landed allotments, by being turned into farmers. And then they were led in local contingents by officers in a rising military hierarchy that went up to the thematic generals, the strategoi. You can hear in the Greek word strategoi, the word strategos, singular, for general, our word strategy. Well, of course, generals are presumably people somehow involved with strategy. Strategy is generalship, you see. Now, what we have here is a very interesting change from the older Roman system, but again a change consistent with other changes that we've been noting. Let me unpack that.